in that place. Free at last, meeting face to face. I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace. Every pain finally will cease.
Welcome to Crossway today. Please join us as we worship God and hear His word.
He's alive. Happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed.
And oh, what a glorious day.
And oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious way that you have saved me. And oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious day.
We sing Jesus.
Jesus, you are mercy. Jesus, you are justice. Jesus, you are worthy. That is what you are. You died alone to save me. You rose so you could raise me. You did this all to make me a chosen child of God. And worthy is the Lamb that once was slain to receive all glory, power, and praise. For with your blood you purchased us for God. Jesus, you are worthy. That is what you are. Jesus, you are mercy. Jesus, you are justice. Jesus, you are worthy. That is what you are. You died alone to save me. You rose so you could raise me. You did this all to make me a chosen child.
And worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Silently.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb that once was slain, to receive all glory, power, and praise. For with your blood you purchased us for God. Jesus, you are worthy. That is what
Jesus, you are worthy.
Jesus, you are worthy. That is what
Jesus, you're worthy.
Jesus, you are worthy. That is what you are.
Oh, we praise your name, Lord God. You're worthy. We praise your name, Lord God, in this place. All honor, all glory, all praise to your holy, holy name. You are the first.
You are the first. You go before. You are the last. Lord, you're the encore. Your name delights for all to see. The starry host declare your glory. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest.
And apart from you,
apart from you, there is no God. Light of the world, the bright and morning star, your name will shine for all to see. You are the one, you are my glory.
And we sing.
No.
Oh, we love you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God.
Of what you've done for us on the cross. Your word says that. And we celebrate you today. We recognize that you are the embodiment of everything that is good. You are the embodiment of everything that is God. And every superfluous statement that can be made about you doesn't even touch the edges of your character. We can't fathom the depths of your love. We can't comprehend the magnitude of your strength or the extent of your wisdom. And that just causes us to worship you. Thank you, Lord, that you're in the business of pursuing those who have rebelled. You're in the business of picking up those who are broken and shattered. You're in the business of strengthening those who feel like they are weak and whose life is failing. You come to us and you embrace us and you love us back to wholeness and recommission our lives. You fill us full of purpose because it's your goodwill to have plans and destinies for individuals to walk in and live in. And we bless and praise your name. Thank you that you are worthy. Thank you that you are the center of all of the attention in heaven. Thank you, Lord God, that as the one who is so almighty, yet you are imminent and you are in this place today. By your Holy Spirit, you move amongst us. And together we declare Jesus as Lord here. We invite your Holy Spirit to have your way amongst us today, to touch our hearts and our minds, to achieve your good purposes amongst us. Lord, ultimately, that your name will be glorified and your kingdom will be extended. Do your good work today, we pray, Lord. Be the supernatural God that you are in our midst, we pray. For the glory of your name. For the glory of your name. God's people said, amen. God bless you. How about we greet one another today before we find our seat? Welcome one another.
Welcome as we come together. Thank you for those joining us on Facebook Live and Church Online. We're excited that you're with us as part of our Family Life series as well today. Growing up as a child, I grew up in a family that had a kind of fascination for politics, a family that loved to talk about politics, and it was part of my world growing up. And from a young age, I had a fascination with American politics. And I guess the first memory I have of an American president is that of Jimmy Carter in the 1970s as he comes into the Oval Office. Carter, a follower of Jesus, a passionate Christian, a man who's still in his old age today, is committed to living a life that expresses the gospel and the hope of love of Jesus, particularly to those on the margins. But the story is told of Jimmy Carter that whenever he was in the Oval Office, he had a regular habit, a pattern that his staff didn't particularly like. He would disappear. The President of the United States, the leader of the free world, had this rhythm, this habit that helped him actually do life and stay in control. What would happen? On a regular basis, as he was in his office, he would suddenly get up and he'd walk out into the Rose Garden. Now, a number of years ago, I was offered a job in Australia with a federal cabinet minister. And having been a journalist, I know that if you work for a senior politician, even if you're not busy or you're not stressed, it's in your position description to look stressed. And so you could imagine all these young staffers running in. You know, the Prime Minister of Singapore is on line one. The Pope's on line two. There's been a terrorist bombing in the Middle East. Where's the president? The president's out in the Rose Garden. He's disappeared again. What would Jimmy Carter do? He would walk out into the Rose Garden. He would sit at a chair under his favourite tree. He would breathe in life. He would pray. He would open up the scriptures. He would catch his breath. And he then would go for a walk a little further and he would have a chat to the gardeners in the gardening shed at the White House. He would talk to the everyday man about their opinion on world affairs. And he was then refreshed and recharged. And he was ready to go back to work. He was ready for the stress and the pressure that life would bring. Jimmy Carter intentionally lived with daily life-giving rhythms. He lived with daily life-giving rhythms. Why? Because he was a follower of Jesus and he understood the importance of imitating godly, Christ-like, biblical qualities, practices, rhythms, habits that would help him to grow, that would help him to be spiritually healthy and strong, that would help him to take on the challenges and the opportunities that were his on a daily basis. we see Jesus provide us this pattern throughout the New Testament. A couple of examples. Mark chapter 1, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus beginning the day with rhythm. Jesus establishing a pattern. In the next few verses in this passage, the disciples come and they want to get on with ministry. They've got their to-do list, their activity. They want to get out with the crowds. And yes, that will come. But Jesus first models a rhythm of being spiritually refreshed and spiritually renewed, so he's ready to act. In Mark 6, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him that they had done all these amazing things, what they've done and what they've taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and eat and rest for a while. They've been busy. They've kicked some goals in ministry. They want to get back out with the crowds. But Jesus says to the disciples, hang on a minute, there'll be time for that. But pause and rest and eat and regroup and be refreshed. Again, Jesus establishing rhythm and pattern in his life and for his followers. The challenge we face daily, the challenge I face every day, the challenge you face, do our life practices reflect biblical pattern? My old senior pastor in the church I came from in Newcastle would regularly say this from the platform. The scriptures give us a biblical pattern. If we're serious about following Jesus, then on a regular basis, we'll examine our lives and say, do my life practices reflect biblical pattern? And often there's a time when we know they don't intersect, they don't align, and the need to get back on track, the need to refocus, the need to clarify our walk with Jesus, so that our patterns and our practice go hand in hand. Today we continue our family life series, and whether you're joining us here at Crossway or whether you're joining us on Facebook or around the world on Church Online, we've been moving through this series looking at the quality and the health of our family relationships and our relationships across the community. We've looked at Imagine the End. Pastor Margs reminded us that wise people have a strategy, a goal, a vision for their lives and their families. Last week, our senior pastor reminded us that wise people widen the circle. He's preaching that message down to our southeast campus this morning. I'll be inflicting pain on people with rubber bands, as he did last week, if you were here. Today, we talk about wise people creating a rhythm. Wise people creating a rhythm, habits, practices, patterns, priorities, rhythm that reflects Jesus and helps us grow as followers of Jesus. Because I don't need to tell you that we live in a crazily insane, busy world, right? Who's not busy here? You know, some of you may have this morning thought, will I really go to church because life is so busy? There'll be others, Crossway people, good people who are not here this morning because life is so busy they haven't been able to squeeze in time to be here. Or you could be watching somewhere around the globe today and you know that your life is too busy. In this 24/7, 365-day world that we live in, where we're bombarded daily with information and challenges and responsibilities and the pressure of doing life today. Last year, the University of Washington, in a research study, found that 75% of Americans surveyed, 3 out of 4 people surveyed, equated busyness with success. Stop and just think about that for a second. 3 out of 4 Americans, not too different, I would think, in Australia, equated busyness with success. We've got to change that paradigm as followers of Jesus because we ourselves can fall into the busyness trap. Calvin Miller says that busyness is one of Satan's key devour strategies today. Satan can tempt us in many different ways. He can pull us away from God and our family and our marriages and our relationships and mission. He can use lots of different tips and techniques. But you know, Satan wants to keep us busy. Because the busier and the more crazily insane busy lives that we live, the less time for God, the less time for our partners, the less time for our kids, the less time for mission, the less time for disciple making. Satan is happy when we are busy. And so Crossway, let's not buy the paradigm that busyness equals success. I was in a church a couple of years ago, and I was chatting to a lady after church, and she had a big smile on her face, a very happy woman who was responding to the talk that I'd given, and she told me, "Pastor, I'm out 5 nights a week serving Jesus." She didn't like my response. I actually suggested to her maybe if she was home a little more serving Jesus, her personal life and her family life might be actually doing better. Busyness can actually equate to spiritual immaturity, not to spiritual maturity. We need to be careful that we don't get sucked into the busyness vortex and we find our lives so busy that we haven't got time for the things that God wants most in our lives. Our challenge, my challenge on a daily basis, yours, to confront busyness with wise, God-honoring, purposeful, life-giving rhythms that support the pursuit of our personal and family goals. To know what our strategy is, to know what our vision is, and to live a life in a way that enables that to become a reality because of the habits, the practices, the rhythms that we have in place. Paul says in Ephesians, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, making the most of the time." Yeah, I'm sure a lot of us would like to go through kind of drive-through today or the ATM and just buy ourselves some more time, but we can't. Wise people manage their time. Wise people reflect on how Jesus used his time. Wise people create rhythms that are God-honoring, healthy. The reality today, we're all living with rhythms. We all have some rhythm in our life, but it just might not be helpful. You know, our rhythm could be chaotic rather than being purposeful. We might know as the Holy Spirit taps us on the shoulder this morning that the rhythm in our life currently is squeezing the very life out of us rather than be life-giving. We could be self-focused. The things we're focused on could even seem good, but they're not things of the kingdom. And there might be the need today to reframe our priorities. We know when things get out of whack, don't we? I sense if you're sitting here today and you know things are out of whack, I don't need to tell you that. I know a couple of years ago, I was in the middle of this incredibly busy, crazy kind of season. I was trying to do too much at the one time. I was going to speak at a conference, and I was up to 1 a.m. that morning preparing myself. I'd had a too busy week. I was taking my kids to school. I forgot the alarm. They slept in. They were late. Got them to school. They looked at me and said, "Dad, you forgot the lunches." Dad goes home, does the lunches. Super Dad brings them back to school. Then I'm heading to the conference. I've got to get petrol because the light's flashing and I've stretched it as far as I can stretch it. I'm putting the petrol in and I'm a male, so I struggle to multitask. I'm putting the petrol in and I decide to also open the boot to get something out. I close the boot and I slam my hand in the boot. So here's the petrol, but I'm stuck. I'm physically stuck, but I'm more than that. So I'm in the service station and all I can do is yell, "Help! Help!" It wasn't rocket science that right at that moment the Holy Spirit was saying to me, "Scott, it's time to slow down. It's time to reorient your focus. It's time to look again at creating healthy rhythm in your life." We don't do that once. Friends, incrementally we've got to do it again and again and again, that we stay on track, we stay on focus, we look afresh to Jesus, we stand against busyness, we reclaim the lifestyle that God wants for us. It's a bit like, you know, if you turn on the TV today, it'll probably be a cooking program or a home renovation program. And I'd be much better going on a cooking program than a home renovation program. In our household, my wife is the handy person. She changes the light bulbs. If we were on this program, she would have the sledgehammer. She would be knocking down the wall. She would quite comfortably have the tools in hand, and she would send me packing in the little car they drive to Spotlight to buy the pillows and the sheets to do the styling. Because I'm far more the styling guy than the knock the wall down kind of guy. But just imagine if this week we had a camera in your house. And imagine on the big screen right now, we're about to put up what a week in your family life looks like. Now, I said imagine, don't worry. We haven't yet got to the hidden cameras. What would it reveal? And rather than judges score the reveal, what if wise people looked at how you spent your week? What if wise people looked at the rhythms and the pattern and your calendar and your diary? What would it reveal? A scary thought, hey? At times, of what it reveals about the patterns in life that we live with. You know, when you get on an aeroplane, Stephen Covey reminds us that for 90% of the flight, the plane is off course. You know, jump on a plane this afternoon, Melbourne, heading to, say, KL. For 90% of the flight, it's off course. Enjoy your flight if you're flying this afternoon, by the way. But you know what? What's the pilot's job? The pilot's job is to sit there with the controls and the dashboard. And because of their training and their discipline and the commitment, they follow a rhythm. They follow a pattern. And turbulence and weather and other things might get in the way. But the pilot knows what the destination is. And because of patterns and rhythm and practices, they get us to the destination. We've got destinations in our family. We've got goals. We've got a greater purpose. We've got the vision of being God-honoring individuals and families and a church. Our challenge to stay focused on God-honoring rhythms and patterns that will allow us to reach that destination. Jesus lived with rhythm, and his rhythm reflected his values and his priorities. They supported his purpose. What about us today? What can we learn from Jesus this morning? Three quick practical points of how we can reflect and live with Jesus' same rhythm. Jesus had intentional spiritual rhythm. First and foremost for Jesus, above all else, his spiritual relationship with the Father, that came first. And so his rhythm of life was focused first and foremost on that. There's an old Latin phrase, and I won't try and speak it in Latin. There's an old Latin phrase that says, you can't give what you haven't got. Grab hold of that. You can't give to your partner. You can't give to your kids. You can't give to your work colleagues. You can't give to your life group what you haven't got. Jesus understood that. And his primary pattern, his primary focus was on daily, weekly, monthly, seasonally, cultivating his relationship with his Father that he might be spiritually healthy and spiritually ready to build a life that made a difference. That's the challenge for you and I. Because if we're honest, if you're like me, so often we get the pattern wrong. We're good at advancing. We're good at being busy and stepping out and building our career. We're good at stepping out and earning money. We're good at serving. We're good at being busy. We're even good at ministry in the life of the church. All good things. We advance. But having advanced in the busyness of life, we then try and squeeze in some time to retreat, to slow down. But counterculturally, Jesus turned that pattern on its head. What did Jesus do first? Jesus retreated. Jesus had a pattern that said, retreat, spiritual health, spiritual growth comes first. My relationship with the Father comes first. And when that is in a good place, everything else will flow. The kingdom of God will be unfolded because of that place I find myself in, creating a rhythm that puts God first, modeling to our family, our friends, to others around us, that same Jesus priority. Is that evident in our lives today? Or is there the need for reframing, for realignment? It's a bit like the good china. My grandmother lived in a very humble little house in Merriweather and Newcastle. And whenever we'd go around for dinner, there on the dining table would be the same old kind of beige plates with an orange and brown floral pattern. They were the kind of number one big seller at Kmart that particular year. And she rolled those plates out year in and year out and year in and year out. And then suddenly, once every blue moon, you'd go around to her place and the good china would be on the table. And you'd say to Grandma, "Grandma, is someone special coming for dinner?" And she'd go, "Shh, don't tell them they're special," as if they were put out every day. And you know, it can be a bit like that in our spiritual lives. You know, spirituality, God conversations with our partner, God conversations with our children, time for the Bible and prayer, spiritual disciplines, spiritual rhythms can be uncommon. God wants them to be normal. God wants us to push aside the fine china, that spirituality would be a normal, rhythmic practice in our lives. It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for each one of us in our busy lives. Today, wherever you're tuning in from across the world or here in Melbourne, do our spiritual rhythms support God's vision for our lives and our relationship? And here's a question, one practical take-home question. What practical change could you make today that would allow you to model that commitment in your family, in your sphere of influence? Secondly, intentional relational rhythms. So Jesus had intentional spiritual rhythms. And he also then invested himself in his family, in the 12, in the inner circle. He invested himself daily in those that mattered most to him with intentional relational rhythms. How are our relational rhythms today? Where are we spending our time? What message does it send to our partner, our kids, our grandchildren, our life group, our family, our friends? Jesus lived with an inward rhythm, and we're called to do the same. Quality time for those that matter most to us. This hit home for me again recently. I was having a day off and I was going to spend time with my kids, and I was planning the day ahead, and my seven-year-old, with the voice of the Holy Spirit kind of coming out of her, said, "Dad, we don't want to be busy doing things today. We just want time with you." Presence, quality time, investing in the relationships that matter most to us. Being innovative, being creative. If you're feeling like your marriage is a little stale, or your parenting isn't as fresh as it used to be, or you're feeling like, you know, life group has become fairly predictable, or whatever it might be in your relationship sphere, we can be innovative. We can try simple new things. I was talking to someone today whose family have declared Tuesday night taco night. And every Tuesday night, it's, you know, who in the family can eat the most tacos. But as they get together and do Mexican, they talk about life and relationship, and they all sit at the table together. Or you might go out tomorrow and buy a book. I went to Coorong the other day and just bought a book for Megan and I, 10 creative date nights for a husband and wife, that we might set aside some time in our busyness to cultivate our marriage relationship with some fun and some adventure. We can all be innovative. We can be all be creative in terms of how we strengthen those relationships. And we can have intentional rhythms. We can be intentional. You know, we as a church community don't want people to be so busy inwardly they haven't got time for outward relationships. We want people cultivating relationships with their neighbours, with their friends, with people at school and university. We want to be a disciple-making church, but that doesn't happen unless we carve in good quality relational time. Time to be missional. Time to reach out to others. Time to spend quality time with other people, being an authentic disciple of Jesus. And included within that, can I highlight this? I sense that we all, as followers of Jesus, in our families, whatever that looks like, we need to make sure that we build in time to serve the poor and to model that in our families. In my role that I came from in Baptist care, we ran lots of community centres where the poor and the homeless and the hungry and people with mental health challenges would come and be fed. I wanted my wife and my kids to be in that environment, cooking and serving meals, so that became a norm and a reality to them in getting their hands dirty in serving people. On Friday, I went with Megan to Essendon to meet an Iranian family, a young family, who are emotionally scarred. They are a walking witness of the horror of offshore detention. And they're here in our country, new to our shores. And I sat with Brian and I said, "What do you most want?" And he said, "An Australian friend." I hope I can be that Australian friend to him. Going to take him to the footy in a couple of weeks' time. He's going to try his first meat pie with sauce. And he'll cheer on the Swans. But most of all, I told him they're the team that everyone in Melbourne goes for. But it's about rhythm. It's about priority. It's about pattern in being missional. It's about being invitational, opening up our homes to others, or cooking a meal, practicing hospitality, being people who are relationally real and relevant to those around us. And what difference does that make? Inwards, innovative, intentional, invitational rhythms. That's purposeful living. Taking control of our calendar. Finding time for people that matter the most. Finding time for the poor. Finding time for missional relationships. Finding time to live out the DNA and the culture of this church community as followers of Jesus. And what happens? We're purposeful. We make a difference. We inspire others. We inspire our kids. We shape a legacy because of simply putting into practice good, healthy, regular rhythms in the way that we live our life. And finally this morning, Jesus practiced intentional spiritual rhythms. He practiced intentional relational rhythms. And he practiced intentional sabbatical rhythms. He knew what it was to slow down. You know what I draw great comfort from? If the God of this universe, in his plan for the world, would send the Son of God to this earth, and the Son of God thought it was okay to slow down, it's okay for us to slow down. It's okay for us to catch our breath. It's okay for us to rest and to relax and to enjoy life and to get out of the rat race at times. Leonard Sweet says this, "The pilgrim's problem," not just me, "the pilgrim's problem is not one of working too hard. The pilgrim's problem is not having spaces to recuperate so that his or her soul can catch up, that we can leave our soul behind the busyness." You know, the religious leaders said to Jesus, "You're a Sabbath breaker." But in fact, Jesus was a great Sabbath keeper. Because Jesus understood what Sabbath really meant. Not just a day of rest. Sabbath, in its truest sense of the word, means catching one's breath. Being refreshed and renewed. Jesus knew what it was to slow down and catch one's breath with those that mattered most to him. And he models that to his disciples and to us. And so our question this morning is, how intentional are we in a busy world in catching our breath? How busy are we in catching our breath? When we're packed up and done today and we're heading home, I'll walk partly home and then I'll catch the tram. It's not because Megan won't come and pick me up. It's because I've realized on a Sunday that 20 minutes that I get to myself is just great to simply catch my breath before I get home. I can walk in with the right focus for my kids in the afternoon ahead. Simple practices in catching our breath. Be still and know that I am God. Crossway, wherever you're joining us across the world, I think that is a verse for our day. Be still and know that I am God. Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Come to me, all you who are too busy and bombarded with too much information. Come to me, all you who need to put down your social media and tablets. Come to me, all you who are working too hard. Come to me, all you who, even with the best of intentions, have got your calendar out of whack, that you might find rest for your soul." Today, there are some in the building here who are living with crash and burn rhythms. And friends, in love I say, the Holy Spirit is saying to you, slow down, change your rhythm today, or you will crash and burn. There are others of here today with the best of intentions who might be climbing the corporate ladder or trying to get enough money for the mortgage or set the family up, but who are absent parents and the kids are saying, "Dad or Mum, we just want you around more." There are others who may be really driven, and it could even be a ministry drive that you have, but that drive is not putting God first in your life. And there's others of us who probably, just like I do sometimes, accidentally happen to fall into a good rhythm, but it comes and it goes because we're not intentional in the patterns and the rhythms. We haven't taken control of our calendars and our diaries in a way that seeks first the kingdom of God. We may have lost sight of God honouring rhythms. On Friday night, the Sydney Swans were down by 19 points. There was only 3 minutes to go. In the midst of the hustle and the pressure and the struggle and the tiredness, they kicked a few goals and they went on and win. Straight after the game, they spoke to a few of their senior players. And this is what one said. He said, it wasn't really about whether we won or whether we lost. But when you're in the midst of the pressure cooker, what you have to do is hang on to the structure and the rhythm and the pattern that you know that works. And the only reason we won is we didn't panic. We didn't press the panic button. We held on to the basic rhythms and structures that we know might win us the game. Today, do we need to reclaim Christ-like rhythms, Christ-like patterns, Christ-like habits that will help us win the game, that will help us to be better as husbands, as wives, as parents, as grandparents, as brothers and sisters in Christ? Busyness can't win. We need to take control of busyness and let Jesus win afresh in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, is the prayer. Our rhythms create a legacy. Our rhythms create a legacy. Let me finish with this picture this morning. I won't read the words, they're on the screen. But some of you will know the song very well, The Cats in the Cradle. The song where a father reflects on his life with his son. The father was always busy. The father lived a really busy life, always travelling, always earning, always trying to invest in the future of his family, but not present. The father lost sight of good, healthy rhythms. And then finally the father retires. And now the son is living away. The son is earning an income. The son is busy in his life with kids. And as you see there, the father rings the son. And the father says, hey, dad, hey, son, can we get together? Can we spend time? And the son says, I'm sorry, dad, I'm just too busy. I'll get back to you when I've got time. What's that song all about? It's about legacy. It's about what are we creating now? What are we modeling now? What are we showing the next generation now? What are we modelling to those that matter the most to us now? Creating godly, biblical rhythms shapes a legacy today and for the future. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you for your love and your grace and your goodness. We want to thank you that even when life is out of whack, even when life is out of control, even when life is not as it should be, we thank you that you're there for us. You beckon us to return. You call us to refreshment and renewal. You forgive us. You put us back up on our feet. And you send us back out into the world to be more and more like Jesus. Father God, today, you've challenged us in the midst of a busy world in which we all live to look afresh at you, to look afresh at our calendars, our diaries, but most of all, our heart priorities. My sense is there are some of us here today who know that busyness and the schedule has taken control. There are some of us here today who know we're not living God-honoring lives. There are some of us here today who know we're trying too hard in our own strength and we need the Spirit afresh. There are some of us who know we need to make change today so that we don't crash and burn. And that others of us here today who know that we need to put Jesus first afresh in our lives. If today you know that you need to create a new rhythm in your life, a Jesus rhythm, can you stand right where you are? As eyes are closed and heads are bowed, just stand where you are. Lord, I want to create a new rhythm in my life. Join others standing across the auditorium. Jesus, today is a tipping point day. I'm not going to go into tomorrow and keep living the crazy, busy life I'm living. I need change in my life today. If you're at home watching online, Facebook Live, you can do the same thing. You can connect online with people through the Next Steps button, or you can chat, leave a message. You yourself can stand as well and commit to change in your life. Let me encourage you to stand now, if that's you. Join others standing across the building. Holy Spirit, I surrender my life afresh to you, and I want change today. I want my rhythm to be a God-honoring rhythm, and I want to build my relationships and my family and be a disciple maker. I want to invest in your kingdom. We pray that in Jesus' name.
Cover by
you have prayer needs or would like to discuss your personal relationship with God, we have people waiting to speak with you and to pray for you. Our telephone lines are open for the next 30 minutes, so why not phone us now on 03 9886 3700. To buy a copy of today's message on CD, send a check for $6 to Crossway Resource Centre, 2 Vision Drive, Burwood East, Vic 3151. Remember, our telephone help is open right now for the next 30 minutes on 03 9886 3700. Our Sunday services, including Children's Church, run at 8:45 a.m, 10:15 a.m, 11:45 a.m and 6 p.m. at the Crossway Centre in Burwood East. We also hold Cantonese, Mandarin, Indonesian and Korean services, plus satellite services at Craigieburn and Moreland, youth on Friday nights and young adults on Tuesdays. To help support the cost of producing this weekly radio program, send your donation to Crossway Radio Ministry, 2 Vision Drive, Burwood East, Vic 3151. For more information about Crossway, visit us on the web at crossway.org.au.